Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 70 on November 24th, 2013. I hope you're all doing wonderfully. It's a late Sunday night. I've had a wild weekend, and I am back to do your podcast. I'm going to jump right into the letters here. This is an unusual one, so check it out. As a man who's never been pegged, or in fact, never lost his virginity, I'm interested in pegging because I like the idea of a woman making it about what she wants. I'm not actually sexually attracted to women's bodies at all, and we live in a world where women's bodies are given far too much spotlight and stress. Or in the porn world, it's always about hot women, and it's never about what the women want, it's always about what men want. I like the idea of having a loving relationship with a woman who, in the bedroom, makes it about what she wants, and my body is the object of desire. This isn't to say pegging would take over the sex life. I can do top. Wow, the reason that I read that is because it's just so different, and I love how all the communications I get from people just encompass such a wide variety of opinions and what turns you people on, what you like, what you don't like. It's endlessly fascinating. And I have talked with men who really love the idea of sort of being treated like an object, being very, very objectified, and it's all about her. And she can do whatever she wants, she can use him, and that really seems to turn these particular men on. That seems to be their fetish, and they love it. And it really runs counter to what I usually talk about how there's so much intimacy with pegging. Not for these guys. And I remember first finding that out when I posted the article that I have, Intimacy and Pegging, and I put it up on FetLife, and a man responded and said, you know, not everybody feels that way about it. And I read his comment and thought, well, I don't know. And then a few other men jumped in and chimed in, basically, and said, yeah, we feel the same way. So, yeah, it's fascinating that there's such an endless diversity amongst all of us. Personally, I couldn't picture having sexual interactions with someone that I'm not physically attracted to their body. But to each his own, absolutely. Thank you for writing in, sir. Okay, here's another one. Dear Ruby, thank you for reading my letter in podcast number 68. I hope it was interesting and maybe encouraging for some of your other listeners, and thank you for your very kind comments on my writing. Coming from a soon-to-be-published author, it was quite a compliment. I am writing again with a follow-up to share some details of our second pegging session. I also wanted to share some general thoughts based on our pegging experiences so far. We met again a week after our first pegging session. My fabulous partner had reserved a suite at a very nice hotel somewhere in New England. I wish I could give them a shout-out, but I'd like to leave details vague to preserve our privacy. We had both had a busy and stressful work week, and we relaxed for a long soak in the biggest whirlpool tub I've ever seen. Room for the entire women's Olympic beach volleyball team to join us if they were available, but I digress. We then adjourned to the bedroom for a marathon session of straight sex, if you can call it straight, with floggers, crops, nipple clamps, cuffs, vibrators, and cock rings in the mix. After a rest, she asked me to lay down on the bed, massaged me, then lubed up my ass and gently slipped a finger inside and stroked. She had decided not to use latex gloves this time and told me she could feel what she was doing there better without them. She then picked up a slim anal vibrator that she had brought with her, fired it up, and played with it inside my ass, stroking my prostate. It felt freaking awesome. After 10 minutes or so, she switched it off, fingered and stretched my ass for a while, ending with two fingers inside me. Then she slipped in the same glass butt plug we had used the previous week. It is 1.75 inches wide, wow, at its broadest point, so it took a while to slip it in, but we used the same technique as before, rocking it in and out with steady pressure till it slid all the way home. There was no pain at all, and only a mild and very brief discomfort getting it in. We made out for a while, kissing, caressing each other, and she stroked and sucked my cock while I stimulated her G-spot and clit with fingers and a vibrator. After maybe 20 minutes, she had me roll over on my front and gave me a playful taste of the flogger and riding crop that I had used a little more intensely on her ass earlier. We decided we were ready to move on to the main event, so I bent over the end of the bed as she strapped on the Tantus Charmer. I eased the plug out, and she slid her cock into my ass, nice and slow. But like the last time, there was very little resistance after the plug was removed, so I pulled her into me, and she began fucking my ass, moving her hips to stroke deep inside me. The bed was a perfect height for her hips, so that position worked really well for us. After a while, she was getting tired in that position, so she fucked me on my back on the bed. And then she lay down, and I rode her in the cowboy position, and finally in the reverse cowboy. I loved every second of it, and I must have said, "Oh, fuck, baby," and "Oh, yes," about 100 times each. Not very articulate, but she got the message, which was, "You are rocking my flippin' world, baby." And what made it even hotter for me was I could see how turned on she was by it. After a half hour or so, we were both getting tired at using hips and legs and various muscles in ways that were new to us, and she lay me down again, lay down beside me, and held the dildo in her hand and fucked me in the ass with it. The sensation was great, and I loved the feel of the ridges stimulating my prostate. I found what was working best for me was a long stroke, pulling the dildo most of the way out on each stroke. We were both pretty tired by this point, and we ended the session there. No orgasm for me, but I'd come twice already that day, and I'm not 20 years old anymore. But I felt like I was primed for some hot 5 a.m., well, good morning baby sex, and we drifted off to sleep in each other's arms. Later in the morning, we were cleaning up, and I spotted a small, slight brown stain of lube and stuff on the sheet. We looked at each other and both shrugged and said oops with a smile. No awkwardness or embarrassment. Shit happens sometimes when you're getting fucked in the ass. I had douched with warm water early the previous day, but apparently something found its way out. No biggie. Next time I may clean up closer to the pegging session. Anyway, we left a nice big tip for housekeeping when we were getting ready to check out. I'm sure they've seen worse. So the whole experience was a great success. I loved it all, and I know my partner got a big kick out of strapping it on again and getting to fuck me. We are both looking forward to getting together again and practicing some more when our schedules allow. A couple of thoughts. Number one, you have written and spoken a lot about guys who are worried about pegging being perceived as a submissive activity, or who are worried their partners will view it as unmanly. For me, there was no feeling of submissiveness at all about the experience. It felt like my partner was taking care of me, doing something for me that she knew gave me pleasure and that was getting off by seeing me turned on. No hint of a dom vibe from her at any point. It was, in a way, like getting a sensual massage. You could be the domliest dom in the world and lay quietly and passively while your sub gave you a full body massage, and that would not feel like a submissive act to Sir Domley McDom. It's just a loving, caring, sensual service that your partner is doing for you, and hopefully enjoying it herself. So unless you are very insecure in your manhood, or unless your partner is acting up or role-playing as a dom, there's no reason for it to feel like you're being submissive. On the other hand, if female domination, male submission is part of your kink, more power to you. Go for it con gusto. Number two, for us, the plug-and-play technique worked like a charm for our first two sessions, and remember, we were both anal virgins before. I would highly recommend it to any couple starting out exploring anal sex, and for any combination of straight, gay, lesbian, male, female, other, giver, receiver. An ass is an ass. Manipulating a cock or cock-sized dildo into someone's ass for the first time without hurting them or causing discomfort is a delicate and difficult task, but human hands are pretty versatile tools, and I am convinced it's a lot easier to ease in a butt plug by hand. If you leave it in place for a half hour or so, your ass will be nicely stretched, and if the plug is at least as wide as the cock or dildo, my experience is that there is hardly any resistance when you're penetrated after the plug is removed. There are a whole lot of new skills in play here for both partners, and making the initial penetration part easier is going to increase the likelihood that the whole experience will be pain-free and enjoyable for both of you. Once you've gained some confidence with the stroke, positions, rhythm, and other new skills, you could, if you wanted, take off the training wheels and work on mastering the initial cock/dildo penetration with finger prep only. But if you find that part takes some working on, and if there is some pain or discomfort while you learn that skill, at least you'll have the confidence that this plug-to-pegging anal thing is something you can do. You won't be so likely to say, "Holy crap, this hurts like hell, let's forget the whole idea." Keep up the great work with the blog and podcast, Ruby. You have certainly helped us on the path to pegging. Thanks again. You know, I have to say, I think this is the most information-filled pegging success story that I have followed from the beginning when you were asking about it and you really wanted to do this, and now that you two have gotten together twice. And it's just delightful to hear all the details, to hear how you're experiencing them. And this particular part about not being submissive really is so interesting to me, because I do get that question a lot. And I think that it's, I have to say, I had an experience once with a man who said there's a big difference. Well, he didn't say it's a big difference. He said, but there is a difference, and it's an important difference, between a woman strapping one on and wanting to peg you and doing it for you, which is what you describe when you ride in, or a woman strapping it on and wanting to do it to you, which is what the more dominant role is. And yeah, I'm absolutely in the dominant camp. And your lady is where you want her and where she wants to be, which would be the submissive camp, which is awesome. So there is a distinct difference there, absolutely. It was funny that you brought that up. Your suggestions about the plug I find really interesting, and I think I'm going to start suggesting that to people because, you know, interestingly enough, when I have done anal play myself, that is a technique that I use, kind of rocking the plug back and forth. And it is easier to get it in that way. And you can take it so slow, too, just a very gentle, persistent pressure. And it seems to open you up quite nicely, at least it does for me. So I'm glad to have that hint as well. And I know what you mean about wanting to give the shout out to the hotel, but wanting to preserve your privacy. And it absolutely is preserved. Thank you so much for writing in and giving us more information. It was a delight to get all that. Thanks again. Okay, on to our next letter. Hi, which kind of harness should I take to use with a Cher or a Fieldo? Most of them have the O-ring quite high. Also, what is your opinion about Galpal? Seems similar to the Cher, but much more cheaper. Regards. Okay. First of all, if you look in my what's the best harness and what's the best dildo section of the frequently asked questions on my website, you'll find what I recommend. But the short story is I recommend the Happy Valley Tango over both the Cher and the Fieldo. The Tango was designed to take the best parts of both of those and to combine it and make it even better. And I believe they really have done that. So, first of all, that's the double that I would recommend rather than the Cher or the Fieldo. And I've said it a million times, and I'm happy to say it a million more. My favorite harness for versatility, washability, comfort is the spare parts Jacques harness. And if you love leather, the Aslan Minx harness. And Aslan is the same. Oh, this is going to crack you guys up. It's some of you anyway. It's the same Aslan as Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. That's how it's spelled. A-S-L-A-N. So the Aslan Minx is a fabulous leather harness, very comfortable, really beautifully made. Both of those will work with doubles. There are a lot of harnesses out there to choose from because there's a lot of cheap stuff out there. I stopped myself from saying cheap shit, and I'm just going to say it because it's my podcast. It's late at night, and I can say shit if I want to. So yes, there's a lot of cheap shit out there. So please be careful not to get that, because that's an exercise in frustration. You know, I've talked about that in previous podcasts. Buy once, buy quality. And as far as the gal pal, it's interesting. I looked that up. I'd never heard of it. First of all, it's made out of TPR, which is thermoplastic resin, which is porous. And that means it's completely non-sterilizable. That means bacteria can reside in there and you cannot effectively completely sterilize it. So that's not good, especially if you're going to be using it for anal. And, you know, I'm going to put a link on the podcast, but I found a review of it at Eden Fantasies. And this reviewer, I can't do a better job than this reviewer did, because they got the TPR part, they got the size of the toy, the shape of it. Sadly, they tried to use it without a harness because these idiot manufacturers are still advertising these things as harnessless. But yeah, it didn't get very good reviews, like, at all. So, would not recommend that one at all. I'll put the link to the review, but basically, all you have to tell me is that it's TPR and I'm done. No thank you. Okay, and thank you very much for writing in with your questions. I always appreciate it. And let's see. Okay, now, now I'm going to read you a few questions that are kind of digging into Ruby World. It's sort of interesting. There came this flush of questions that you guys had about me. And, you know, one of these days in the future, I'm going to do like an Ask Ruby Anything podcast, and I'll probably answer just about anything you ask me, unless it's incredibly personal about names and things. But yeah, that's not this podcast. However, I did get a few fairly personal questions. So let's start off in the first one. This is actually a reaction to a piece I wrote on my blog called I Feel Like a Man. I encourage you to go read it. I'm really actually proud of that piece of writing. But the way that it happened was very interesting, because I had lunch with Mr. Great Kisser. And he is not in the space to really be doing what we used to do. And I know that. We had talked about it. So I hadn't seen him in months. But we had lunch and I was still totally lusting after him, because I am. And so we had this lunch and we talked about anything and everything. And then we came out of the bathrooms and I said, so what's next? And he said, you know, I don't have to be anywhere. So it's really kind of totally up to you. And I said, no, it's not. Because if it was, I would take you home and fuck you. And we both laughed, and he politely declined. But the point of the blog post was, and the point of my story here, is that I realized on my drive home, I mean, there really was no awkwardness. You know, we knew that this was happening between us. It was fine. But I felt like such a dude, because there was this intense wantingness. And I was just looking at him and totally objectifying his body as we spoke. And it just kind of blew my mind. On the way home, I realized, whoa, I'm really thinking like a dude. And, you know, I don't know, because I'm not a man, but the best as I can imagine, I thought this must be how men feel when they're just really wanting to have sex with a woman who is sort of either playing hard to get or saying no, either one. So I went home and I wrote a blog post about it. And this reader wrote the letter back to me, and he was commenting on it. Hi, Ruby. Nothing more exciting for a man than to be in the presence of a woman who is the aggressor. Parentheses, I feel like a guy. That's the name of the article that I wrote. As a man, you feel more alive than when you are the aggressor, because the outcome is certain. When the man is the aggressor, she often senses it, and it can be a turnoff because you want it too much. To add to that, your ability to delight in the sounds of a man in the throes of orgasming puts you in a class of your own. And he's referencing my call in and record your orgasm request. and how any special man would want to be in your space. That's very sweet of you to say. That's really nice. And then he went on to say, your ability to embrace male youth and beauty where other women dare not tread only makes your pool of possibilities greater. The fact that you are on the go, taking the initiative, ensures your success in the near term. Keep up the great campaign. So this is really interesting because actually that same guy that I mentioned just a little bit ago who differentiated between a woman who wanted to peg him for him, who wanted to do it for him, or a woman that wanted to do it to him. You know, he and I had a long conversation some time ago about this. And there is something that men have to deal with all the time, and that's the tension of not knowing what's going to happen, the tension of not knowing whether you're actually going to have sex with this person or not. And so exactly what you said, reader who wrote in, the outcome is more certain because she's the aggressor. And so, yeah, it's certain. If she, you know, she's going for it, she wants it. And how nice to be able to relax into that. So you went on to say, your lovely last line, how any special man would want to be in your space. But you know, back to the aggressor part, that doesn't always work because there are men out there that would rather have a woman do it for them than to them. And I am absolutely a to them kind of woman. I'm dominant, and dominant doesn't always work. Dominant works with men who want that. Dominant works with men who welcome it and can relax into it and perhaps fantasize about it as well. So not just any special man would want to be in my space. Thank you for the letter and for your insights about that. Appreciate it. And here we have another one that's kind of personal. Without you revealing anything too personal, I would find a recounting of your evolution to pegging quite interesting. The lust aspect, the romantic discoveries, and progression from your initial encounter slash techniques to more sophisticated ones as increased knowledge and experience expanded your repertoire. Also, at what stage of your life did all your longings come to fruition? You know, I tell this an abbreviated version, not quite as detailed as you're asking, in my classes because I like people to know when I teach who I am and how I got to this point of doing what I do. And this is pretty much what I say. I started off in life, as soon as I became sexual, having kind of an obsession about asses. And at that point in time, I didn't really differentiate between masculine, feminine, receiver, giver. It was more about if there's anal action, I'm interested. I was always a lover of erotica. Interestingly enough, grew up with Penthouse Forum letters easily available when I was about 16 or 17 in my household. And I would just turn straight to the anal section. So that was there from a long time ago. I always labeled it kind of bad and weird and strange and different, which people who have different sexual desires often do. So it took me a long time to really embrace it. And in the in-between, I wrote a lot of erotica. And I hid it away, put it in the filing cabinet, because that was a long time before, you know, putting it in the locked folder on your computer. So, been married twice, approached both husbands, and they said a very firm, like, you know, not firm, they just said no. And I was still labeling it as bad and weird and strange and different. So I didn't persist. I didn't have really any self-confidence to say, now, wait a minute, you know, this is something I'm really interested in. Can't we talk about this? And I think I made the mistake of presenting it as if it was a disease that I had, as if it was something to be ashamed of, because there was very much a lot of shame surrounding this, these desires. But the older I got, the more that I realized that this is really something that I wanted to do. And after I divorced husband number two, I took a look at my life and thought, if not now, when? And that sentence, that question, meant a lot of things. It meant, if not now, when are you going to explore the pegging thing? If not now, when are you going to be a writer and do erotica like you've always wanted to do? So I decided it was then. It was in that moment. And I got a friend of mine to help me put up a website. I put my erotica up there. And thus the journey began. And at that point in time, I started exploring the act itself. I discovered that it was just as exciting as I had hoped it would be. But as I began to study it more, and as I began to go down the rabbit hole, as I always say, I found out all kinds of lovely things. I found out that men love it just as much as women. I found out about the prostate. I really had no idea about the prostate before all this. I just knew it's what I wanted to do. And to find out that men enjoyed it too was a freaking win-win, like you can't believe. I mean, not only that they wanted to do it, that it was so pleasurable that it could bring them orgasms. I mean, how cool is that? So in the beginning, I think that I was a little bit more timid. I was very, very careful, not wanting to hurt the man because I didn't really know what I was doing. I was awkward because I hadn't had a cock. I mean, this is what every woman goes through. It's not just Ruby that goes through this. And I asked a lot of questions. I was always checking in. Or, you know, Does this feel okay? And I really didn't have the skill level in terms of knowing exactly what I was looking for, what it like with my fingers and prostate, what it felt like, what positions worked well, and the different choices too, because not all men are the same. So let's see, what are some of the other things that you asked? The lust aspect. Oh my God, I've always lusted after men's asses. That's easy. The romantic discoveries. You know, part of that has to do with my much later realization that pegging involves so much emotional connection and intimacy. And that is, you know, that's what I think of when you say romantic, because that's what it feels like, really. It feels like a bonding happens, and it's really remarkable, and it's amazing, and it's cool if you can allow it to happen. So definitely discovered that kind of later on. I sort of knew it was happening, but then to be able to hear from people who wrote in and articulated that, and then to have those experiences with men myself was really quite extraordinary and continues to be. Let's see, what else do you ask? What stage of your life did all your longings come to fruition? Okay, you all know kind of what age I am. I don't announce it all the time, but I hit that point of if not now, when I was 50, okay? That was 6 years ago. I turned 56 this year. So a little late is kind of my feeling because it's so damn fun that I wish I would have started a long time ago. But hey, I've started and I am loving it. There is nothing like pursuing your passion. You know, people say that about work and things like that. And I feel lucky that my work involves so much play. It's not like, okay, I do this for research, but there is an element of that. I have to be a toy tester sometimes. So I hope I've answered your questions well enough. Thanks for writing in with all of the personal questions. Okay, next one. I have been wondering about pegging and wondering about your personal motivations. Do you still enjoy being fucked more? Also, you said you like control. Are you dominating? And are you controlling during sex when you're not pegging? Wow, good questions. Do I still enjoy being fucked more? Yes, I do. If I had to put numbers to it, I think I'd probably say about 60% of the time I like getting fucked. And about 40% of the time I like fucking. But I go through periods where all I want to do is fuck the guy. But that's, you know, that's not, if it's the same guy, it's not a reasonable thing because you can only do that so much before it becomes a sore thing. It becomes a too much thing. A vagina can take much more daily use than asses can, I think. So, yeah, if I had to put numbers to it, that's pretty much it. I said I like control. Am I dominating? Oh, hell yes. That's an easy answer. Hell yes. Am I controlling during sex when I'm not pegging? Well, that's an interesting question. I think my awareness of how I am when I'm having sex with a man and I'm not pegging is that I still bring a whole lot more male energy to the equation than the vast majority of women. I'm a strong woman and I'm a tall woman, and I don't hesitate if I want, you know, something moved or a different position to just go for it. I'm certainly not a woman to lie back and just let a man run the whole show. To me, it feels like a dance. So am I controlling? I don't want to use the word controlling, but I think you'd have to ask my partners if I am or not. Because to me, controlling means that I'm running the whole show. Like I said, it's a dance. It goes back and forth. But I certainly don't hesitate to ask for what I want, to move the way I want, you know. And I do it with a surety, with a confidence, as opposed to being a girly girl and laying back and being the pillow princess. It's not my idea of what I like. I like the dance. I like it a lot. Okay. Wow, personal questions. You guys got like the Ruby dissertation this time around. And let me see here. I think, well, that's it for the questions. So we're done with that. And I wanted to talk about one thing that a good friend of mine requested. Since I have been asking for you guys to call up and record your orgasm. See how I just said that, you guys? Well, it was supposed to be inclusive of both genders, and I definitely meant it that way. But of course, I realize that there are mostly male listeners, the much higher percentage of male listeners on my podcast. So I would like a favor from you women out there, because this man expressed to me that it would be really, really cool to listen to women having orgasms too, that as a man, didn't really do a whole lot for him to listen to guys coming. And I get that, you know, I totally get that. Depending on your orientation, whether it's both, either, one or the other, yeah, I get that. So I'm making a special request from the women who listen to this show. If some of you ladies could call in and record an orgasm, it would be totally, totally awesome. And my number to call in for that is 805-500-6544. 805-500-6544. And you can use that number to call in for all the other stuff too. For questions, for stories, for orgasms. Yeah. For orgasms. So you can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page, and a whole bunch of people are giving me the thumbs up. It's really sweet. The numbers are going through the roof. So thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. You can subscribe to my blog, which I put sexy pictures on and things that never show up in my podcast, like that article that I wrote about I Feel Like a Guy. My podcast is on iTunes. It can also be listened to directly from my blog. If you do download it from iTunes, if you rate my podcast and give me a review, I would be very much appreciative. You can send your questions and your stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com if you want, if you don't want to use the phone. And I also want to mention that I'm going to have a running total for my Donate to Get Ruby to DC campaign, because I'm already getting some response, and I'm humbled. I'm practically teary-eyed by the response I'm getting. Thank you guys so much. I don't have permission at this point to share the first names of the people who donated, and I sent emails out, so I'd like to hear back from them first, but I will keep you up to date on where the Send Ruby to DC thermometer is, if you will. Because, yeah, thank you, guys. You're sending in some nice donations, and I'm filled with gratitude. I really am. I appreciate your support. And I will go to DC, and I will rock their world. So, as always, thanks for downloading and listening. And happy pegging.